Okay, I need 5 cell phones. 5 people to bring me their cell phones. 5. No, there's a passcode on that one. There's a passcode on that one. Someone, passcode? You have a passcode? Oh. I apologize. My apologies on that. Okay, you should probably put a passcode on your phone. Yeah, thanks, Luke. Okay, all of you have passcodes on your phone. That is a good thing, because if you don't have a passcode on your phone, then Caleb Freeman will steal your phone and upload Star Wars pictures to your Instagram, and he'll put funny captions even though you do not like Star Wars, and it will completely ruin the vibe that you're going with your Instagram feed. And so you need to protect what is important to you. That is what we're going to be talking about today. We need to protect what is valuable to us. Look at this. We wear helmets because they protect our head. We put our money in banks because it protects it, because it's valuable to us. Sweet baby Truitt, Caleb and Carissa just had him. That car seat is like bulletproof, basically, because Truitt is valuable and they care about him. Any celebrity, politician, anyone has bodyguards around them at all times because they're important. Beyonce does not leave a concert without 500 bodyguards around her because she's valuable. And so we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about protecting what is important to us. And so I need one volunteer. One volunteer. Alex? Okay, come here. I'm going to need you guys to split that really fast. Yeah, if you could just honestly put it like right here, that's perfect. Alex, do you play basketball? No. Okay. It's going to be okay. Alex, I'm going to need you to try and dunk on me. Caleb and Thomas are going to do this. So you can do it.
I can do it?
Yeah, you can try and dunk on me. But I'm going to guard you. This isn't... Oh, sorry. I'll meet you at the rim. Okay. Go. You can do it. Yeah. Go. Oh. Okay. Who thinks they can dunk on me? Good job. Who thinks they can actually dunk on me? Who? Okay, Noah. Okay. Okay, we'll have 3. We'll have 3 people. Okay, no. You can't mess with this mic or my face. Okay? You need to step back. Okay. Also, no hanging on the rim. Okay. Ready? Oh my gosh. Who? All right, that was okay. That was pretty good. All right. That was pretty good. Thank you. I don't want to hit me in the face. Basketball players, soccer players, the point of your sport is to score a goal. And so, in order to defend, you have to protect the paint. You have to protect the rim, right? And so, clearly, good job, Noah. Alex, as well. It's okay. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about protecting the truth. We've been in 1 John, and now we're going to enter into 2 John. So if you want to turn there with me, it's right after 1 John, surprisingly. And if you have your white cards, I want to give you a high five. Who still has their white card and has been filling them out? High fives. Like, high fives all around. No white cards. Girls. If you have your white cards still, then I want you to put this on the main point. It says, those who profess the truth protect the truth. Those who know the truth protect the truth. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And your key verse is 1:8-10. Like I said, we're going to be in 1 John. 2 John. We're going to be in 2 John. But it was written by the same author as 1 John and also the Gospel of John. And so as we read it, this is a letter to an elect lady in a church near Ephesus. So this is written about 30 to 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension back to the right hand of God. And so John's writing to this woman who is opening up her home to missionaries who are coming in to preach the gospel. See, we're in a time when the gospel is spreading, and so there's lots of missionaries who are coming in and out and wanting a place to stay. And so John is writing her this letter, and he is encouraging her in this truth, we're going to see. And then he is encouraging her in this truth, and then he's warning her of false teachers who are coming in. And so you have these missionaries who are coming in and wanting to preach the gospel. You also have these false teachers and these deceivers who are coming in and wanting to preach something contradictory to the truth that they know. And so we're going to see that as we dive into Scripture. And I want you to remember these three truths that we saw in 1 John, which are to a devotion to truth, a love for one another, and in obedience to God's word. So if you've been with us at all this summer, you have heard one or two of these words, or all of them, right? Can everyone raise their hand and be like, yes, we know truth, love, obedience. We've heard it 1,000 times. Yes. And so 2 John is not going to go away from those truths. He's actually going to emphasize them again. And he's also going to hit on the truth of hospitality and how to love our neighbor and to be hospitable. And so, as we dive in, we're going to see two key principles that we're going to pull from this text. And so I know not a lot of us have missionaries coming in and out of our homes, right? We're not having missionaries stay in our homes who are coming to proclaim the gospel, right? But as we read this, I think John emphasizes two key truths that we can take away from this, and that is that we are to know truth and that we are to protect truth, right? And so I just want us to walk through the scripture together. We're just going to read it, and we're going to pull out these truths, and you're going to see them woven throughout, okay? So let's dive in. This is a letter, like I had said, and it says, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Son, in truth and love." So John just starts his letter out, and he says, hey, you know truth, I know truth, the truth lives in us, we're meeting on this level, right? And so he's greeting her. And then he enters into the meat of his paragraph, and he starts out with an encouragement. And in these three verses, we're going to see those key truths and foundations to Christianity, truth, love, and obedience, found in it. "I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another, love one another. And this is the love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it." Truth, love, obedience. He encourages her with this. He says, hey, remember this truth. You know it. You've heard it. Remember it. He's reminding her of that. And so, what is this truth that John is talking about? He says it 5 times in these 6 verses. And Jesus answers it in John 14:6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so this truth that John is talking about is the truth of the gospel. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that Jesus came, the Son of God, humbled himself, became a man, and died on a cross for our sins. This is the truth that John is talking about. And he's saying, hey, remember this truth. Walk in this truth. Remember it. Love one another in this truth. All of us have heard this. Like I had said, you've been taught this for all summer, the foundations of the gospel, to walk in truth, to love one another, and to walk obediently. I think I could definitely guess that majority of us know this truth, or we've been taught this truth, or we know this truth. But I think where we fall short is that we forget to protect the truth. A lot of us know it, but I think that we forget to protect it. And the reason that I think we forget to protect it is because we forget that we have an enemy who opposes us, that we have an enemy who is against us, and an enemy who does not want us to believe the truth, because we know that the truth sets us free. And so John is going to warn this lady. In verse 7, he says, For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such one is a deceiver, the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. John throws up a warning. He says, hey, I just told you the truth of the gospel. You know the truth. I need to let you know that there are also, in the mix of all of these missionaries who are coming to preach the gospel, there's also going to be missionaries who are coming to preach a false gospel that is contradictory to what you know. And so I need you to remember this truth so that when they start speaking lies, you know that they're speaking lies. And so a lot of us, we don't have people coming to our doors to speak those lies to us necessarily. Some of us do when we have different religions who come and knock on our doors and try to get us to have conversations about other religions. But I think that the enemy deceives us in different ways, in more creative ways. Not anything new, but it just looks a little bit different. So what does it mean to deceive someone? It means to cause someone to believe something that is not true. So I want you to like start thinking right now of maybe a time that you have believed something that someone has told you, or your perception of something that was not necessarily true. I thought of a few examples for you. Cupcake. You're at a birthday party. The mom orders the best cupcakes in all of Northwest Arkansas. She gets the big cupcakes, they're massive. You decide, party on, I'm going to eat a cupcake. I'm going to celebrate you, right? So you eat the whole cupcake, immediately you feel bad about it, right? Next weekend, different friend, different party. Mom buys the mini cupcakes. Guys, I am convinced that this is what marketing does. They deceive you because they make you think that you're not really eating that many cupcakes, because I would eat one cupcake of this, but I would eat like eight of these. And like eight of them is like five of one cupcake, but it deceives me because it's not true. But because it's smaller, I eat more. That's just one example. Next, I wanted to tell you a story. I had this friend in high school. We were really good friends. She was super sweet and kind. We hung out all the time. We basically shared everything together. We would play music together. I wasn't very good. She would teach me some things. We were best friends. But it was kind of weird, like, towards the end of our friendship, like, throughout high school, she would kind of just, like, start disappearing. And I was like, why are you disappearing? Like, just a little bit fishy, not really sure what's going on with her. Come to find out, she has the best of both worlds. Hannah Montana. That was a joke. She's not one of my friends, but she is a liar. She's a deceiver, okay? The entire show is built around a lie, okay? She is a liar. She wants to have the best of both worlds, but unfortunately, you can't have the best of both worlds. We find that out in her movie. So, but that's what it means to deceive, right? And so she, when I think of a deceiver, I think of Hannah Montana. Not saying she's the Antichrist. But another deceiver that we see in Scripture dates us all the way back. We can go all the way back to Genesis 3. In the garden, Now, you want to talk about deception. No way did Eve look like that, okay? That is why. I'm just kidding. I don't know. But, like, look how perfectly her eyebrows are. That's amazing. Genesis 3, the serpent deceives Eve. How does he deceive her? He says, hey, eat this apple and you surely will not die. He was lying to her. Why? John 8:44 says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He knows no truth. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The enemy is the father of lies. Every single one of us are being deceived by the enemy right now or today in some way, shape, or form. How do I know this? Because when you look at our culture, it is continually pouring lies into us. Look at the TV shows that you watch. Look at the movies that you watch. Think about the songs that you listen to. Think about the things that you can look at on your phone. They're all lies. And so how does the enemy deceive us? He has one strategy. His strategy is to get us to believe his lies over the truth of God's word. His strategy is to get us to believe his lies over the truth of God's word. How does this play out in my own life? I lived in the cycle of believing Satan's lies for as long as I can remember. I lived in the lies that I was not good enough, that I wasn't skinny enough, that I wasn't pretty enough, that I wasn't tan enough, that I wasn't athletic enough, I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't a good enough friend. I would look on my phone at social media and I wouldn't travel enough. I wasn't pretty enough. And I didn't have as many friends as everyone else. And I know that it seems crazy, guys, but this is what the enemy is doing. He wants to twist and skew God's word and the truth that we know to be true of who we are, and he wants to pour lies into us because the enemy wants us in our sin. He wants us to remain in chains. He wants us to be bound by our chains and bound by our sin and to waste our life. The enemy wants us to forget that there's an eternity. He wants us to forget that there's a God who loves us and who freed us from that sin and shame. He wants us to hide. He wants us to not tell anyone. He wants us to step away from our friend groups that are pointing us in the right direction. He wants us to be alone and he wants to isolate us. He wants to deceive us. There is an enemy. And if we are to know and profess the truth, then we have to protect the truth. We have to protect the truth. But John gives a game plan. He gives a game plan for this woman and her children. He said, hey, the reality is that there are going to be deceivers who are coming into your home. Here's what I need you to do. I played basketball in high school, and I remember we would go every Friday after school, and we would watch film of other teams that were playing. We would watch film of other teams that were playing because we needed to know their tactics. We needed to know what they were doing. And I remember my coach would draw out, we would have multiple sheets of paper, and we would draw out their plays. So I knew if number 34 was on point guard and number 2 was at the 2 guard, I knew that she was going to cut and pass and get into the wing, and she was probably going to drain the corner shot because she was 98% from the corner, right? Like, absolutely insane. I know. So I remember going through the motions. I remember writing out game plans of how to defend the team, right? And so if we have an opponent and we have someone that's against us, then we have to have a game plan. If we are going to protect the truth of God's word, if we're going to protect God's house, then we need to have a game plan, okay? And so John gives them a game plan, starting in verse 9. He says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring his teaching, do not receive him. into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. So what's John's game plan for these deceivers? Two things. Two simple things. To abide in God's word and to rebuke the lies of the enemy. We tell you this all the time. Sometimes I feel like it goes in one ear and out the other. But in order to protect yourself, in order to grow in a relationship with the Lord, you have to spend time with him. You have to abide in God's word. You have to know the truth in order to protect the truth. Because if you do not know the truth of what God's word says, then you will not know how to protect it. You will not know when lies are starting to come into your mind and tell you things that are false of what God says. You will not know that those are lies. You will start believing that they are truths, and before you know it, you'll be in chains. You'll feel stuck. You will wonder, how did I get in this cycle? How did I get here? It's the enemy. He slowly deceives us. He twists truths. And so we are to abide in God's word, and we are to rebuke the lies of the enemy. This means those times that I hear a lie, that I'm not good enough, I rebuke it and I say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I know that that sounds crazy, but it legitimately works. Scripture tells us that he must flee in the name of Jesus. And so when we rebuke his lies, when we hear them, he has to flee. I have taped up all over my room and in places that I see and in my car, scripture that I know is true. So whenever I'm driving and I feel alone or I feel fearful or I start to doubt, I look to those scriptures as a truth and as a source. And so here are some practicals of how to protect truth. I know that you guys know these, but I want you to write them down again. Because I promise you, I 100% guaranteed, if you do these things, you will be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. And that is to read, study, and know, and fall in love with God's word. To surround yourself with life-giving friends. To put scripture in places that you know you'll look every day. And to have accountability. The enemy is not going to stop. He's not going to stop attacking. He's not going to stop speaking lies into you. But the difference is that you know that it's coming and that you're prepared for it. And so think about when Noah literally destroyed me and dunked on me so hard. Think about how hard it would have been if I would have had a team around me. You guys need accountability. You need friends that are life-giving and pointing you towards truth. You need friends who see the value of protecting truth and who are going to stand on the same court with you with the same goal in mind and saying, absolutely not, we're not going to let him score on you. We're not going to let him speak those lies over you because they're not true. I have a handful of friends. Abby and Amy are that for me right now in my life. Whenever I start to believe lies, they're on my team. And they speak truth over me. And they remind me of my value and my worth in Christ. Think about those friends. Who are those friends to you? You need them. You need them. Those who profess the truth protect the truth. As a follower of Jesus, we must protect the truth. We must protect the truth. And so I want us to have a little heart check really fast. As Jake and the band come up here, I want you to think about today. I want you to think about this past week. What lies have you heard the enemy speaking to you? In what ways are you hearing false teaching? Truth that is not real. What are you hearing? Man, what are your friends telling you? Do you know the truth? Do you know it? Do you know the scriptures? Have you spent time studying God's word? Have you let it refine you and sanctify you? Are you protecting it? Guys, 2 Timothy says that we've been entrusted with God's word. That it is a gift to us. And that we get the privilege and the honor to study it. And how cool is it that we serve a God who didn't leave us alone? He didn't leave us on this world to knowing that we would have a deceiver and not give us a sword of truth, of protection. He knew that this world would be hard. He knew that we would have to stand firm. He knew that we would have to protect it. How does your life look different? Does it? As believers, we are set apart and made holy and made righteous. We are supposed to look different. The difference between us and people who do not know Jesus is that we know truth and that we are set free. That we're no longer in the chains of sin and shame or in the cycle of sin. We're no longer in this hopeless state, but we get to look to Jesus. We get to see those lies in light of the cross, and we get to believe the truth of who Christ says that we are. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so those who know the truth, if you can sit here and tell me, I know the truth. I know what Jesus did on the cross for me. Maybe some of you are feeling like you are 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, and you just come on Sunday, but the rest of your life looks completely different. I want to challenge you. I want to push you out of your comfort zone. It is so much easier to take the wide path. It is a lot harder to take the narrow path. I know that people will call you a Jesus freak, or they'll think that you're crazy for following the Lord, or for doing what is right, or wanting to be holy and seeking that. I know that it's hard. I lived it. I live it. It's challenging. But I want to challenge you. I want to push you out of your comfort zone, and I want you to ask yourself if you know the truth. And if you know the truth, then I want you to protect the truth. Let's pray. Lord, you are faithful and good and true. Father, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your love. I thank you, God, that we get to walk obediently in it. Father, that you did not leave us here alone to fend for ourselves, but you put your spirit inside of us so that we could walk and that we can know you. Lord, I thank you for your word that is a sword. God, that it extinguishes the flames of the enemy and the lies that are flying around us. God, we profess and believe that you are the one true God, that you sent your only son on a cross to die for our sins so that we could experience life eternally. God, that we could live in the fullness of who you are today. God, we love you. May we protect your truth. May we honor you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray.